You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Pipeline Podcast. I'm Jason Ratliff here with Jim Callis and Mike Rosenbaum, and we are in the midst of the World Series. As we record this, the Dodgers are up 3-2. We're going to take a look at how our predictions are looking. We're going to talk about how the rookies are doing in the World Series, including, of course, the incredible, amazing Randy Arozarena. We are going to do a World Series scouting reports quiz. We're going to quiz Jim and Mike on players in this year's World Series. We're going to look back at their scouting reports from when they were prospects and quiz these guys on who is who. We're also going to get some reports from instructional league play. Almost all the teams are partaking in instructional league play right now. Mike's going to talk a little bit about a few teams that he's been in contact with, and then we'll wrap up the show by answering your questions. Guys, World Series so far, it's been exciting. 3-2. I think probably about what people expected out of the series. Does that seem right to you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody saw Game 4 coming the way it did. But, I mean, I think when we made picks – well, I mean, I picked the Dodgers in 6. So, as we record this, I feel pretty good about that. But, I mean, I think we expected a close series. I think, Mike, you had the Rays in 6, right? And, Jason, you had the Dodgers in 5?
Correct.
So, we are out of the running.
Yeah, it's either Mayo wins with Rays in 7 or Jim wins with – Dodgers in 6.
But, yeah, I was just going to say, I know when I looked at this coming into the series, I think we have the best team in each league. I didn't think it was going to be one-sided. To me, I thought the difference when I picked the Dodgers in 6 was I thought their lineup was a little deeper, and that was going to be the difference. I don't know if that's the biggest difference right now. I mean, Clayton Kershaw has pitched a couple of pretty big games for the Dodgers, and ending maybe that tired discussion over, you know, what's wrong with Clayton Kershaw in the playoffs. But we had one of the greatest World Series games of all time, the crazy finish to Game 4. And, you know, the nice thing is the games have been very competitive and compelling until the end in most cases. So I hope we get at least one or two more games like that.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Jim, that I think that, you know, all of us, we were kind of just expecting a close, very competitive series, which is all why we all selected, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 games. And I think that it's, I would hate to see Jim win this and Jim's prediction be right. But I think there's a chance. And, if not, then it's all on Jonathan to take it home.
If Jim does win the World Series prediction, he also hands me the overall postseason title. So I'll make that trade because I think the overall postseason picks, that's what the $25,000 is on the line for, I believe. So yeah, I'll take that. And actually, if the Dodgers beat the Rays, I will have hit on 12 of the 15 series, which will be one shy of Jim and Jonathan's picks combined.
Wow.
So I need that to happen.
Do you know something that we don't?
I did. I knew who was going to win all these series.
Nice.
So guys, we can't talk about the World Series, this postseason, without talking about Randy Arozarena. We do it every week now. He continues to defy the odds and put up astounding numbers. And this has led to a number of interesting sort of internal conversations among our crew. Among them, where does this performance rank among the list of the all-time greatest rookie postseason performances? Jim, you did a story where you ranked the top 20 of all time. That was pretty heavily weighted, I would say, toward players whose teams won the World Series. The top 10 are all on World Series winners. Kind of a difficult list to put together, I think, because as you've mentioned, a few times. It's kind of comparing apples to oranges when you're looking at, you know, postseasons that used to span just the World Series only. And now we're talking about this year, four rounds of playoffs. Looking at your list, where do you see a Rosarena fitting in?
Well, see, and this is just going to anger people because I noticed MLB Pipeline running the poll yesterday, asking people where they thought Randy Rosarena would fit on the all-time rookie playoff performances. And I think 65% said they would put him at number one. And you're right. I mean, the list is tough because it is apples and oranges. Like, number one on our list is Charlie Keller, who in 1939 had a 1658 OPS in the World Series, tripled and scored the winning run in game one, homered twice in game three, homered and knocked out catcher Ernie Lombardi at a collision at the plate and the decisive play in game four. So, like, he only had one round. He only had four games. He tore it up. You know, and then you come, like you said, to the wild card era or this season where you have three or four rounds of the playoffs, and it's much easier to accumulate counting numbers, but it's harder to keep your rate stats up high. And I did factor in both dominance and whether you ultimately won. And I know this, if it's me making the decision, if the Rays don't win the World Series, I would probably put Randy Arozarena 11th on this list. And I know people right now, especially Tampa Bay, are like, what? He's hit. I've already lost track. Is it 9 homers? Is it 10? You know, 27 hits. You know, he's had, you know, an unbelievable postseason. But just looking at our list, the number 10 guy on our list, Jason, one of your favorite players of all time, Dusty Males, threw 15 2/3 shutout innings in the 1920 World Series and guaranteed a shutout before his game six start and went out and threw a three hitter to win 1-0. The number 9 guy on the list, I'm not going to count them all down, Larry Sherry, he was World Series MVP in 1959. He won 2 games and he saved the Dodgers' other 2 victories. I mean, you know, I would say the other factor too, when you look at this thing, is I think it's a lot easier for a pitcher to dominate, especially in, you know, series, you know, maybe it's a single World Series. But I guess in my mind, the way I've reconciled this is, I think if we're talking about overall postseason, you know, if we're talking about postseason performance, I would put Randy Arozarena 11th right now, unless they come back and win the World Series and he continues to rake. But I think if you were looking at this from the perspective of greatest sustained performances, then you'd probably put Randy Arozarena number one, if that made sense.
The headline of the story is not greatest sustained performances of all time. So
I will put him 11th, and Twitter will get mad at me. So, but that's
very fine. Mad, very mad. I mean, I think the most common response to that poll, I mean, you said that approximately 2/3 of the people who voted said he should be number one, but the most common response was that we shouldn't even be talking about where he ranks among all-time great rookie performances, but just among the greatest performances of all time, period.
Yeah, and again, I think it's the same thing. I mean, if you are factoring in winning championship, yeah, it's, to be honest, I hadn't thought about this when we did this story originally because we conceived of it before Randy Arozarena went crazy. But I almost think if we were doing the story again, I would break it out in a like pre-wild card and post-wild card separate list, because I just think it's not even comparable. I mean, you know, number 2 on the list is Pepper Martin, who had a great World Series in 1931. You know, Mike Boddicker, 1983, pitched twice, threw 2 complete games, didn't give up an earned run, but he only pitched twice. So, I mean, you know, and they won the World Series. So it's just, it's totally different scenario. I think the only guy on here who pitched multiple rounds because of the strike was Fernando Valenzuela in 1981, who worked, which seems crazy to imagine anybody doing this, even in this postseason, 40 2/3 innings in the postseason, and you know, had 3 huge wins in 5 postseason starts.
Yeah, every player in the top 10 is pre-wild card era, and then you start getting into some more recent players: Jorge Soler, Kyle Schwarber. My favorite part of Jim's argument about where Arozarena should go is when he gives Dusty Males extra credit for predicting his shutout. Arozarena should just start pointing out his home runs before he hits them and move right up Jim's list.
Yeah, we give him a little extra credit, but still, he's going to have a hard time surpassing. You know, Dustin Mills didn't give up a run in 15 and two thirds innings. So, you know, and they won a World Series. So I think there's definitely some recency bias. The typical fan probably has no idea who Dustin Mills is. I'll admit, I didn't know much about Dustin Mills. I'd heard the name. I mean, I've heard of Larry Sherry and Gene Bearden and Paul Dean. I was aware of their heroics, but it's all like, you know, hey, I'm watching Randy Arozarena right now. What do you mean he's not the best of all time? And it's tough with these pitchers, especially in a 7-game series. If World Series, you go out and you pitch great 2 or 3 times, I mean, that's a huge impact, you know, and you don't have to sustain it over multiple rounds. So that's my final answer. Right now, I would put him 11th. If we're doing greatest sustained performances, he'd probably be number one, unless you wanted to give Fernando Valenzuela extra credit for winning the World Series, maybe.
Now, another thing regarding Randy Arozarena that has people up in arms, including some of our pals over at MLB Network, is where Randy Arozarena ranks on our latest prospect list. Now, he is not in the top 100 overall prospects list. He is, I think it is fair to say, shockingly low on the Rays' top 30 prospects list. And I'm being a little delicate here because the owner of that list is part of today's podcast.
The architect.
The architect. but there's a lot to consider here. And we've talked about this at length, and we're actually gonna delve into this. We're gonna write a story about this very thing. But let's talk a little bit about this. Randy Arozarena currently ranks number 19 on the Rays' top 30 prospects list. How did that happen?
Well, I think one thing that's really important to keep in mind this year, given the unusual circumstances of the season, is that we didn't have a normal ranking process. Our midseason ranking consisted of only adding draft picks. There was no movement because we thought it would be unfair to penalize guys, considering that you know, not every player had the same opportunity this year. So that explains why he's still 19th. But also, the guy hadn't even played a game for the Rays in the big leagues by the time we did that re-rank. So there really was no opportunity to see how he'd progressed from the previous year since joining the Rays in the offseason trade. And you know, at the time, 19th isn't all that crazy, considering that this is the top ranked farm system that has a ton of depth. And if you look at, you know, Randy's grades across the board, except for power, which we were low on, they're still all 50 or 55. So like I'm projecting him to be a big leaguer, you know, not a superstar like he's playing right now in the World Series, but you know, in retrospect, yes, we were light on the grades, light on the ranking, but I think that there's an argument to be made that at that time it was appropriate.
Yeah, and I'll back Mike on that too. Not that you're savaging him or anything, Jason, but you know, he was, you know, coming into this year when you're ranking him in baseball's best farm system, he was coming into his age 25 season. He put up big numbers in AAA in half a season last year, but with the jacked up baseball, a lot of guys put up huge numbers, and he was repeating the league. I mean, he put up a 676 ops and hit 230 in AAA the year before. And if you kind of split the difference, and even that would probably be a little bit kind because the ball is all jacked up in AAA last year. You know, it's not like those numbers screamed at you, oh, this is a can't miss guy. It's just such a weird scenario where, you know, just because of the pandemic, he hadn't played, you know, there isn't a normal season, you know, like Mike said, you know, you don't, you know, we didn't get the chance to see what he was becoming. And while, I mean, I know I think I advocated maybe more stronger than others that like, yeah, you know, we probably should put this guy on our top 100 list because I can compare him to individual outfielders on the top 100, even though he's 25 now, I take him over those guys. At the same time, I told Greg Amsinger and Harold Reynolds when they're giving me a hard time about this, I know Jonathan went on the network with him last night to discuss it too, that, at the beginning, you know, all these people were like, oh, how, you know, how can he be so low? Nobody was clamoring even after, you know, he had, you know, 64 powerful at-bats in the big leagues at the end of the regular season saying, oh, Randy Arozarena's got to, you know, move way up the Rays list and he's got to go, you know, on the top 100. Nobody was saying that till the playoffs started. So it's just kind of an unusual situation. If it makes you feel better, Mike, I'll go reach back into the past and tell you a similar story for me. Kind of in reverse, where 1 year when I was at Baseball America, I did the Red Sox top 10 prospect list, and it was probably 93, 94, somewhere around there, maybe 95. In any case, I ranked Donnie Sadler as the number one prospect in the organization ahead of Trot Nixon and Jeff Supon and Nomar Garciaparra. And in retrospect, that looks terrible. But at the time, and I'm not going to say, oh, I was right, but like I know what the process, my process was a good one. I mean, Donnie Sadler had, you know, advanced hitting skills, off the chart speed, controlled the strike zone well, sneaky pop, played great as a 20-year-old in the low class A Midwest League. This was, I guess, a play way of putting it, pre-strengthened Nomar Garciaparra. Let's just put it that way, where Nomar did not have a lot of power, and Donnie Sadler looked like, and he was a shortstop. Donnie Sadler looked like he was going to be a stud, and I still wonder what Donnie Sadler might have become had the Red Sox not made the horrible decision to skip him two levels and switch him to center field on the fly the next year because they needed a center fielder in Boston, and he kind of never was the same player again. But it's, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, it looks kind of silly that Randy Arozarena is 19th on the Rays list. But, you know, as Mike detailed, you know, the process made sense. You know, Baseball America had him 14th on their list. You know, they're, you know, they do a top 30 as well. So it's not like Randy Arozarena was this can't-miss guy that everybody had in their top 100. I think if you would, if we'd redone our list and Baseball America had redone their list at the end of the regular season, there's no way we would put Randy Arozarena. We said, oh, that guy needs to go in the top 100. And it seems a little bit weird to do it on the basis of, you know, three tremendous weeks in the postseason. But I guess the reason I'm for doing it is, even though he's older, the tools are apparent, and small sample size or not, I mean, he has torn up the majors in the regular season and the postseason.
And one thing with Randy that makes it really easy to look at now and be like, why is this guy not ranked higher, is that since he's in the big leagues, we have access to a lot of the metrics and the hard data to you know, quantify what type of player he is. And we see that he's got elite speed, that he's got above average barrel and hard hit rates, that he doesn't really chase. So with that information, it's a lot easier, you know, from the couch to make an assessment that he's better than the 19th prospect in the Rays organization.
So at this point, we have not definitively re-ranked him, but guys, looking at the rankings, and you know, we're not gonna come through a decision right now on the podcast. But looking at the rankings, and we've talked about this a little bit, and I think we have a general idea. Where does he go, both in terms of the top 100 prospects list and the Rays list? Let's start with the Rays list. This is, you know, the best top 30 list in baseball. So you start there. They have the number one overall prospect in all of baseball in Wander Franco. So that's number two. They have, what do they have? Six top 100 prospects overall. But when you look at the list, how many of these guys can you take ahead of Arozarena at this point?
I think it's tough to say just because we haven't updated these rankings in quite some time. So the names don't really line up as well as they did, you know, back in July when we updated our top 100 and, you know, made some slight tweaks to the team top 30 list. But Jim, we were talking about a little bit and we both kind of liked Randy as high as somewhere in the 6 to 8 range, I think we were discussing on the Rays list.
Yeah, it was funny because I did it as an inbox question a couple weeks ago, and Randy has continued to rake. It's. I think you could argue him almost wherever you want. And I actually think we'll talk about the top 100 in a second. I think what we'll probably wind up doing is figuring out where we want to put him on the top 100, and that will determine where he fits on the Rays list because they have six top 100 guys. That said, you know, like, I mean, I'm not taking him over Wander Franco, who's – 5 or 6 years younger than a Rosarena is. You know, the Brendan McKay question, who Brendan McKay's number 2 is interesting because Brendan McKay had shoulder surgery, right? Like, how's he going to bounce back from that? We don't know. You know, I personally, and again, I hate doing this, but based on the, he has tools to go with it.
Right.
I think because I know what he can do, I personally, if you gave me my choice between him and Vidal Brujan, I would probably take Randy Rosarena right now over Vidal Brujan. Now, that said, I think when we figure out what we're doing with him, Vidal is 41 on our top 100 list. I don't think we're going to put Randy Rosarena at 41. I kind of approach this probably from a different angle because I don't do our raise list. Like I started looking at outfielders on the top 100 and thinking, okay, would I rather have him than this guy? Would I rather have him than that guy? Where would he fit? I mean, the irony is he's probably going to wind up very close to Matthew Liberatore on the list or somewhere in that range maybe after, Liberatore was the key prospect the Cardinals got back in the trade.
Yeah, so looking at the top 100, Liberatore is number 52 overall. You look at the outfielders who are on the top 100 list and the top 10 are Jared Kelnick, Christian Pache, Dylan Carlson, Julio Rodriguez, Drew Waters, J.J. Bleda, Riley Green, Alex Kirilloff, Christian Robinson, and Alex Thomas. And I pose this question to you guys. Would you take all 10 of those guys? Is there anyone on that list that you would take, would not take a Rosarena ahead of? Or did I say that backwards, that you would take a Rosarena ahead of?
I would not. I mean, I think if you were making a case based on, present value right now and the fact that the Diamondbacks outfielders, both of whom I like, haven't played above A ball, maybe you could make that case, but I would not take him over 19-year-old Christian Robinson or 20-year-old Alec Thomas.
And just to, since Jim's mentioning ages, all of the 10 outfielders you just mentioned, Jason, are age 22 or younger, and Randy's 25. So I think that's something to consider as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the age has to really be a consideration here. If Randy goes on the top 100 list, he becomes the second oldest player on the list. He's nearly 26 years old. I believe the only older player on the list is Dunning. Is that right? I think Dunning is about to turn 26 in December. So Rosarena is nearly 26 years old. Kind of a situation where you're comparing apples to oranges with him versus all these, 19, 20 year old outfield prospects. I don't know if you guys have any other examples in mind of a player that entered the list at that age. I wouldn't think there are too many.
I can't, because you'd have to almost be somebody who like a Rosarena came from Cuba, signed late, and bounced around the minors for a little bit. It's just such a unique, it's a unique situation for him. It's a unique situation with COVID and the playoffs this year. I mean, if you extend that outfield list further, the next outfielders after that top 10, there's Jason Dominguez, who is hard to rank because on ceiling he'd be in the top 10, but he has yet to make his pro debut. Zach Veen, best high school player in this year's draft. Taylor Trammell, two more guys from this year's draft, Heston Kerstad, Garrett Mitchell. Then you get guys like Elliot Ramos and Hunter Bishop and Brennan Davis, Brandon Marsh, Robert Hassel, Jesus Sanchez. When I look at those guys, and again, it's a weird list because in a normal year, guys would have moved up and down based on performance. Well, we didn't get the chance to have that happen this year. Some guys play in the big leagues. I don't think I would take him over Jason Dominguez or Zach Veen. Taylor Trammell is 23. And Taylor Trammell's kind of leveled off a little bit in the minors. And I really like Taylor Trammell. I think I would take Randy Rosarena over Taylor Trammell. Now, the top 100 doesn't just work like that because, while that's the case, I might not take him over somebody who's lower. But just looking at the outfielders, I think right now, I take Randy Rosarena over Taylor Trammell. And even though there is some swing and miss to Randy Rosarena's game, there's swing and miss in Taylor Trammell's game too. And the power is not not close in my mind. Or, you know, I think Randy Arozarena's got a full grade better power.
And that's great because Trammell ranks number 51 on the top 100 list, and number 52 is Matthew Liberatore. So we're honing in on a spot for Randy that is right next door to Matthew Liberatore. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do some World Series players scouting report trivia. We'll be back with that right after this.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/MLB and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/MLB today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. Roman is the official partner of Major League Baseball. That's GetRoman.com/MLB. GetRoman.com/MLB.
All right, it's time for a little World Series players scouting reports trivia. So what we're going to do here, we are going to look back at some of the players who are currently playing in the World Series for the Rays and the Dodgers. We're going to look back at their scouting reports from when they were prospects. Our contestants, Jim Callis and Mike Rosenbaum, playing for, as always,
$25,000.
Not really. All right, guys. Let's lay out the ground rules here. Here's how this will work. I've got a list of players here, all currently on World Series, on one of the two World Series rosters. They at one time ranked either in the top 100 prospects list, prior to that, the top 50 prospects list, or a team's top 30 prospects list. I will read off a line of from the scouting report. I'll have three clues per player. I'll read off the first one. If either of you gets it right with the first clue, you'll get 3 points. If you get it right with the second clue, you'll get 2 points. If you get it right with the first clue, you will get 1 point. If you guess wrong on any of those clues, you will be docked that same number of points. And the clues will get progressively more revealing about the player. So, any questions before we get started, guys?
I don't like the deduction system.
I know
you're disincentivizing us to guess on the first clue.
I don't want any willy-nilly guesses, Jim. I want educated guesses to go along with educated range.
And how many of these are we doing?
We'll see.
Oh, okay, so we can't play. We can't try to hold on to a lead if we know there's only X number of questions. Okay.
Time constraints. I will tell you that I have 20 loaded up.
Okay.
I don't know that we'll get there. Yeah. All right, here we go. Player number one. While some concern was voiced over an up-and-down junior season, blank has outstanding bat speed and loft, which should translate to a lot of power as a professional.
Buzz.
Oh.
Will okay. Smith.
Oh. You did not have an up-and-down junior season. So that's -3 right there.
That's fine. Mike. That's fine.
Taking himself an early
home. I think I might have an idea who this is, but I'm gonna wait until the next question. Next
clue. Clue number two. His swing can get long at times, but if he finds some consistency, he should hit for average and pop, just as he did during his pro debut.
So you're incentivizing me to be conservative here.
Clue number one.
That was clue number two, wasn't it?
That was clue number two, but I'm moving on to clue number one.
Okay. I see you're calling the third clue clue number one. You confused me with that. Gotcha. Okay. Sorry. The one-point clue.
One-point clue. He's a natural leader behind the plate who can run a pitching staff.
Buzz. Jim. I'm going to go with Mike Zunino.
Mike Zunino is correct. All right.
I thought it was Brandon Lau for a second. I'm glad I held off.
That's after I guess Will Smith. I was thinking it was Brandon Lau as well. Yeah.
All right. After one player, Jim won. Mike, -3.
Negative integers.
Player number two. Blank gets good life on his low to mid-90s fastball. He's developed a good feel for his off-speed stuff, and his slider and changeup both have the potential to become plus offerings. He has cut his walk rate the past 2 years, but his control remains below average. All right, moving along to clue number two. Raw and projectable, when the blank picked him blank overall in the 20 blank draft, blank made steady progress through the minor leagues while physically maturing and improving as a pitcher before making a huge leap forward in 20 blank.
That's totally not helpful.
Really? Too many blanks?
Yes.
Raw and projectable?
That's fine.
All right.
He was drafted and he made progress. Okay.
All right. As dominant as blank has been, there's still room for improvement both physically and on the mound. The blank's patience for developing pitchers has reaped significant rewards in
buzz,
the past.
Buzz. Blake Snell.
Blake Snell is correct.
Yes. Coming at you, Jim.
Mike Kronbeck. Number three. Blank competes aggressively in all aspects of the game. At the plate, he has a fairly good approach and has shown pretty good gap power so far, though it looks like he might grow into more in the future. First clues are going to be tough. They could apply to many players.
That's why it's hard to guess, because you could get that -3.
Clue two. A solid runner, he runs well enough to steal a base now and again and to play center field, where his instincts allow his range to play up. He has a good enough arm to move to a corner if needed in the future.
I'll guess, just for the sake of not being cautious. I'm going to say Manuel Margot.
Jim. Dipping down. -1.
It was going to be like somebody's going to win this like -5 today with the way it's formatted. It's fine.
Here we go. Having tools with a grinder type mentality usually leads to success. That's what the blanks hope will happen with blank, especially after a big second half of the 20 blank season, followed by playing for Team Israel in the World Baseball Classic qualifying, and then the Arizona Fall League. You guys gotta get this.
Buzz. Jock Peterson?
Jock Peterson it is.
Oh, Jim, do you know how disappointed Jonathan's gonna be in
I
you?
I thought it was Jock, but I didn't want to guess. It's fine.
I'd forgotten that he played for Team Israel in the qualifier.
I almost feel like you should give us the years on these, because
I can do that. Well,
what do you think, Mike? Or not? What do you
think?
Actually, I can't do that.
Okay, that's fine. Then continue.
I blanked them out, so I don't have
them. Actual blanks.
Player number four. He has become a patient hitter, and he is now strong enough to drive balls into the gap. Gaps.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
Number two. A multi-sport star in high school, it took Blank a while to get his feet under him as a professional.
I'll guess. I'll say Mookie Betts.
It's Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts was number 62 on the 2014 Top 100 Prospects list. The final clue there was Blank's improvement was fueled by a better approach at the plate and the introduction of power into his game. Which I like that, as though he just introduced it. Like,
it's Mookie, like I'm bored. I'm going to start hitting for power.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'd like to introduce you to my power. Player number five. Wait a second. Jim, you got 2 points there?
I did.
All right. You're into the lead with 1 point to Mike's -1. Player number five. The left-handed hitter has shown that he can swing the bat and is strong enough to drive the ball in the gaps from time to time. Not a lot there. At the very least, Blank has the ability to be a quality fourth outfielder at the big league level. If he can show he can hit more, there's a chance he could develop into more than a backup.
I think I know who this might be, but I'm not going to risk 2 points.
All right, final clue. Blank might be one of the better defensive outfielders.
Buzz.
Jim?
I'm going to go with Kevin Kiermaier.
Kevin Kiermaier is correct. Jim, 2. Mike, -1. Player number 6. He can throw his pitches for strikes at any point in the count and aggressively goes after hitters. Clue 2. His fastball-curve combination completely befuddled hitters in the lower levels of the minors. Upon reaching the Southern League, he started to mix in a changeup.
Buzz.
Mike.
Walker Buehler.
Not Walker Buehler. Final clue. Blank is so good. This is starting to sound like the match game.
Blank is so good. How good
is he? He's so good that he'd likely still be the highest ranked pitcher on this list, even if he were right-handed.
Buzz. Clayton Kershaw.
Clayton Kershaw it is.
See, no. I'm going to register a protest here. I thought it was Clayton Kershaw, but like, there's no point guessing because you risk too much by guessing early. But that's fine.
You want to take away the penalties mid-game?
No, because I have a huge lead now, so I don't. But I almost feel like if we play this game again for future editions of this game, Jason, I think the 3 points should be a 1 point penalty. Like it should be a lower penalty earlier, because or just a -1 maybe for every wrong guess, because it just disincentivizes you from guessing early. I'm trying to work the angles here, but
all right.
it's tough. And now Mike's gonna have to start gunning up 3-pointers here.
Oh, I'm going for broke, yeah.
We progress deeper. So,
all right, here we go. Player number 7, with plus bat speed, Blank should be able to hit for average and power, making consistent hard contact and driving the ball to all fields.
Almost sounds like something I wrote, but I don't know which player it is.
Blank's pure hitting skills, along with his instincts, could potentially allow him to move a little more quickly than some high school players. Final clue. A shortstop in high school, that's where he played in 20 blank during his pro debut. But with his size, third base should be a better fit.
Buzz. Jim got me.
Corey Seager?
Yeah.
Corey Seager it is.
We were just sitting there waiting for that last cue to decide between Bellinger and Seager, weren't we?
We were, and it's like, yeah. The thing is, I thought it was Seager, but again, I didn't want to guess. Like, the one advantage I have here over Mike is, if it's something I think I wrote, it's probably a Dodger.
I don't think you wrote that one, though, did you?
It sounded kind of like what I might have written about Corey Seager, so I don't know.
Yeah, that was from this 2013 write up.
Okay, then it wasn't. Then it was not my Corey Seager write up. So I fooled myself there.
Jim 4, Mike -1. Player number 8,
G-Man Choi, Buzz.
That was terrible.
3 points.
-3 points for Ratliff.
-10.
Come on, that was G-Man Choi. I think I should get 3 points there. Come on.
Terrible. Well, all right. Moving right along. Player number 9. Or 8 now. Some scouts expect Blank to hit 10 to 15 home runs in the big leagues and steal as many as 30 bases. They project he'll hit between 260 and 270.
Well, that's very specific.
I thought the same thing.
I think I have a rough idea, but not going to risk
too.
It.
Not risking it yet either.
Number 2. Scouts are split on Blank. He has playable tools, but he sometimes looked like a top prospect that can help a big league team in a short amount of time, and other times he looks raw and crude in the field.
Now I'm totally perplexed.
Final clue. They also wonder if he is best suited for second base, shortstop, or center field. Nobody questions Blank's athleticism or his bat, specifically his bat control and approach at the plate. Evaluators also like how he handles himself on the bases. He might not be the fastest runner, but he has a high baseball IQ.
Buzz.
Mike.
Chris Taylor.
Not Chris Taylor.
Dang.
Now, if scouts had expected that he would hit 10 to 15 home runs in the big leagues in a single postseason, they might have been a little more accurate in their scouting.
Oh, yeah,
that's Randy Arozarena.
Yep, I see now with the.
I didn't know he was in
the second base. Yeah, yeah,
I didn't realize he was an infielder.
So. Oh, I overlooked that.
Yeah,
free point for you, Jim.
No, I don't get a point there.
That's I know, fine. But you essentially do because I screwed up.
Player number 10. Blank totaled just 4 homers in his first 2 pro seasons, making a greater impression for his smooth left-hand.
Oh, Buzz. It's Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote that.
You definitely wrote that.
You had the advantage there. Jim 7, Mike negative 1.
No, Mike's got negative 4. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I definitely have more than negative 1.
He's gotten 2 1-pointers, and he's taken a negative 3, a negative 2, a negative 1.
Man, good thing we're not keeping track, Jim.
Are you keeping track, Jim?
I am. Gave Mike 3 points he didn't have. Come on.
I'm just doing all I can not to read off the player's name. All right. Blank will have to prove the home runs weren't just a California League mirage, but he has always had solid pop waiting to be unlocked.
I have an idea, but I'm going to wait.
In addition to his power, Blank has excellent pitch recognition skills and remains adept at working walks. If you thought you had an idea and it was right, that should probably do it.
It's not who I thought it was. If it is, then it's not this part of the report.
Number 1, Blank is more athletic than his frame suggests, and he is an adequate defender at first base. He earns high marks for his makeup and understanding of the game. You're both stumped here.
Yeah.
No points awarded. Max Muncy.
Okay.
All right. Player number should have been 12 instead is 11. Blank is a pure hitter, one with terrific strike zone discipline and the ability to hit to all fields as well as get on base at a high clip. He has consistent pop to the gaps from the left side of the plate, as well as sneaky raw power that he has started tapping into more consistently in 2017. I'll give you that year. He's not going to be a big threat on the base paths. His arm will play at second base where he makes
Joey old. Wendell.
Oh, Mike.
Come on.
I think this is your right.
Finish that sentence. Come on.
His arm will play at second base where he makes all the necessary plays.
I think I know who it is, but I'll go ahead and go. How about Brandon Lau?
Brandon Lau it is.
I hate this game, you guys.
I don't know what the score is.
It's Jim? 9-6.
9-6. Blank looks the part. Tall, athletic, and projectable with 5 tool potential.
Can't feel like I got any of those Buzz. Guys. Buzz, gotta go for it.
Mike.
Hunter Renfro.
Let's do it.
Come on. There's like 2 guys. There's like 2 guys who fit that bill. Come on.
Was Hunter Renfro a 5?
No, but I mean, he looked at his part.
You don't know who wrote it, though. Like, they could have written it like in project. Yeah.
Well,
some guys call 5 tools, 5 plus tools. Some guys consider 5 tools, 5 average tools. It kind of depends on who wrote the report. Sorry.
Maybe this would have ruled out Renfro. A left-handed hitter, Blank has a smooth swing and a fairly advanced approach at the plate, leading many to believe he'll be at least an above-average hitter in the future.
I think I know who this is,
but like, I don't think he's. Well, you could still guess, can't you?
No, I eliminated myself.
Oh, really?
I don't know. You could get two more negative points.
Yeah, like I don't know. I think you could guess if you want. I think it's 2 guys. Like, I'm having trouble deciding which 2 guys. Well, I know it's not 2 guys. Did you say he's a left-handed hitter?
I did in say the first. That.
Then I'll say Brett Phillips.
Austin Meadows.
Yep. There you go.
Now,
the funny thing is, I have a window with the rosters open, but I have them side by side, and Austin Meadows is covered up by the Dodgers window. So, damn it.
If you're both allowed to guess multiple times per player, then Mike could make a
Mike would have been comeback. Guessing more on the ones right, he got one wrong more. Before.
In his first 2 years in the minor leagues, Blank looked more like a top-of-the-order hitter thanks to his patience, contact-oriented approach, and speed. He He tweaked his swing in 2015, allowing him to tap into newfound power, and he hit 17 home runs after not homering in his first 2 years as a professional. He's also an above-average runner, giving him an intriguing power-speed combination.
Buzz. Finally, can I buzz for the two-point attempt? I feel like this one is Chris Taylor. No way!
This one is not Chris Taylor. But it is someone that has already been guessed.
I think I know who it is. But we'll just go ahead and wait for the next question.
Blank
speed. No, I'll go out. Can I come in?
Yeah,
can I come
it.
In? I will guess. It's Brett Phillips.
It is Brett Phillips. Did not homer in his first 2 years as a professional. All right. And with that, our final score is Jim 9, Mike negative 7. Is that what you got, Jim?
Mike's well beyond negative 7.
Oh, I thought you got a couple points there.
Well, he got 2 1-pointers and he missed 2 3-pointers, 3 2-pointers.
I thought he just got 2 points for Meadows.
Does it really matter?
Anyway.
Jim won.
Jim won.
Yeah, that's fine.
Jim, I'll write you a $25,000 check. Sometime.
Poor Sonny can't go to college now. $25,000.
All right, that's it for this edition of World Series Scouting Reports Trivia. All right, well, that was a lot of fun, guys. Let's shift gears here. Away from the World Series and into instructional league play. So mentioned as we got started with this podcast that most teams are underway in their instructional league now. And Jim, this is, we're finally getting to actually see some minor league players, some prospects playing some baseball outside of the big league stage now. And for a lot of players, this is really their best opportunity to get some actual action this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole to say this is probably the most important instructional league ever, to be honest. I mean, you know, we've talked about the alternative sites and what went on there, and especially for a lot of the contenders focused on big league ready players. So, you know, the vast majority of prospects didn't get a chance to play anywhere this summer. I'm just trying to think, like, if you took the 30 top 30s we had, so that's 900 prospects, maybe a couple hundred of them got to play in the big leagues or alternative sites. And if you were at the alternative sites, it wasn't like you were playing games every day because the teams didn't have enough pitching and enough bodies to really do that. You know, you had coaches manning the outfield at times. So, I think as far as we can tell, 28 of the 30 teams are having instructional league programs right now. That's up from the usual number. A lot of teams had moved those closer to spring training. A lot of teams were doing them in January as a prelude to minor league spring training. But it's a chance to, you know, before you were limited by, you know, rules and protocols as to how many players you could work with, how many staff you could have in instructional league. You could theoretically bring in as many players, as many staffers as you're comfortable with, and try to get some badly needed innings and badly needed at bats for players. Cause I mean, this is going to be a huge setback just from a development standpoint of not, you know, being able to have guys play this year.
All right, Mike, I know that you've spoken to several clubs now, specifically about their instructional league, and one of those teams being the Nationals, and they have some really interesting names involved there. You look at their top 30 prospects list, to give this a little context, and all 10 of their top 10 players on that list are pitchers. The top 7 all right-handers, and I know 3 of the bigger names there, the younger guys, they're number 1, 2, and 4 prospects, Jackson Rutledge, Cade Cavalli, and Cole Henry, all taking part in instructs.
Yeah. And, as you just mentioned, these guys are three of the top 4 ranked prospects in the organization. And the last time that the Nationals had such high end pitching prospects like this was, when they had Lucas Giolito, Ronaldo Lopez, Dane Dunning. And of course, we know what happened to those guys, how that turned out. You know, granted, it did net the Nationals a World Series and help contribute to the World Series title. But club officials are hopeful that this group of arms that they have in Instructs right now can make it to the big leagues. You know, not necessarily be trade pieces. That's obviously a possibility, but guys who could really be part of the rotation for a long time to come. And that includes, you know, Cavalli and Cole Henry, the club's, you know, first round and second round picks this year. And Cavalli was at the alternate site. And, you know, everyone I've talked to from the Nats has just been blown away with the quality of his stuff. You know, four plus pitches at times, the fastball and curveball are especially good, but they've been really impressed with just his feel to pitch, his understanding of how to sequence his four pitches and his aggressiveness. You know, mentioning him as like a bulldog type, but somebody who also has just, you know, big power stuff. He was a two-way player in college at Oklahoma, so there's still some untapped potential and rawness for the Nationals to develop and really kind of form into a much more complete pitcher. And with Henry, he didn't see time at the alternate site, but having him in Instructs, you know, he's been as advertised. Good life on the fastball, good breaking ball. Changeup has been better than club officials were expecting. And the look of both of these guys are, you know, two college pitchers who could move quickly, and they're particularly high on them.
Yeah, it's going to be important. I mean, when we ranked the farm systems at midseason, after the draft, we ranked the Nationals 30th, you know, worst farm system in baseball. And, you know, this is a team that went from winning the World Series last year to finishing with a third worst record in the National League this year. It's an older team. You know, they're going to need help. You can't just go out and buy everything. And I think with Cavalli and Henry and Jackson Rutledge, you know, that's a pretty interesting, you know, trio of guys. I mean, they're pitchers. You're probably not going to hit on all three, but if you could hit on, you know, a couple of those, you know, then you could, you know, rebuild that rotation, you know, at a low cost, you know, major league salary wise, and devote payroll to other areas. You know, it's, you know, Rutledge was a guy, Mike, I was really interested in looking forward to seeing what he was going to do this year. You know, he was a guy who, you know, he was known in high school. We knew who he was coming out of high school for the draft, didn't pitch a lot at Arkansas his freshman year, and then just blew up as a prospect at San Jacinto Junior College last year. You know, just power fastball, power slider. You know, I could say this about hundreds of guys, but I was really curious to see how Jackson Rutledge was going to do in 2020, and we didn't get that chance. And I will say one thing that's interesting with both Rutledge and Cavalli, their last two first-round picks, both those guys were players, you know, from doing our pre-draft work and talking to teams. The Nationals coveted those two guys,
yep,
but didn't think there was any chance Rutledge was going to get to 17 or Cavalli was going to get to 22. And it happened. Both years they got those guys, and they couldn't believe they got these big physical guys with power stuff. So, you know, from a national standpoint, the development of those two guys and Cole Henry, I think, is going to be very important, you know, not just how good they become, but how quickly they get there to prop up that pitching staff, and they can pour some resources into other areas of the club.
And just to build off what you just said, Jim, that the Nationals covet and target these, you know, big power arms. Just to put it into perspective, Jackson Rutledge is 6'8", Cavalli and Henry are both 6'4". Like, these are big dudes, you know, especially Rutledge, but it's power stuff, but also, you know, a surprising feel for pitching to go along with that power.
Yeah, Rutledge, 6'8", 250.
He's a big boy. Yeah. And he's been consistently upper 90s, sliders improved. He's repeating his delivery a lot better this fall. And all three of those guys, Henry, Cavalli, Rutledge, took step forwards and had really impressive, you know, either alt site, fall campaigns, or both.
So we're checking in with every club that's has an instructional league going on over the course of a few week period. Mike also has stories up on the D-backs and the Brewers. We're going to be checking in with every team, so be sure to check in at MLB.com/pipeline for all of those reports. All right, let's wrap up by answering a mailbag question. We got this from the_TrentNotto. Or would that, is that Trent Notto or Trent Nato? What do you guys prefer?
It's got to be Trent Nato.
Yeah, probably Trent Nato.
Trent Nato. All right. From the_TrentNotto. Who is the top relief prospect, in your opinion? My choice is Caraway. That's not my choice. That's
choice. Who is your choice, Jason?
You as Trent Nato.
Rat Nato's choice. You know what? I don't know. We were talking about this a little bit before we started, and I was questioning whether you would include starters who look like they'll inevitably end up as relievers. If you're, does that rule out Crochet? I know, Jim, I've heard you talk about Caraway quite a few times. You were a big proponent of him actually reaching the big leagues this year. Is he toward the top of your list?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think this looks, it depends on how you look at it. If you want to look at guys who are purely relievers, and I will admit I've not scanned all 30 teams, it might be Burl Caraway. This is a guy who, was a mid-80s Texas high school senior. The Dallas Baptist first recruited as a center fielder. Velocity started taking off as a freshman. Now he's 93, 98 with spin rates and riding action. It might be the best playable fastball in the whole draft. I had some scouts told me they thought it might be. He's got a power 70s curveball with just super downer break. And he's strictly a reliever. He's 6 feet. He's not real physical. There's some effort in the delivery. So you could go with him if you're going pure reliever. Now that said, and I do like Burl Caraway a lot. A couple of years ago, I really liked Durbin Feltman coming out of TCU. I thought Durbin Feltman could rush to the big leagues pretty quick. And right now, Durbin Feltman has dropped off our Red Sox top 30 list, and Burl Caraway has yet to throw a professional pitch. So I've gotten overly excited about college relievers before. I think if I were answering this question, I looked at it. I started looking at our top 100 list, guys I thought were going to be relievers. I do think you mentioned Crochet. I think he's going to be a starter in the long run. The two names, the one guy that, even though he's been developed as a starter, even back in college, there was some thought maybe this guy winds up as a reliever. He's had trouble staying healthy. That'd be AJ Puck. I could see AJ Puck with his fastball and slider being a Josh Hader type of reliever out of the bullpen. And maybe that's the way you keep him healthy. And then the second guy, and he's not as far along in his career. We got to see him in the fall league last year. He's got crazy stuff, doesn't always know where it's going. And maybe he winds up being a reliever is Shane Boz with the Rays. So I would probably pick one of those two guys if we're projecting where guys might wind up.
And these aren't my picks, but thinking back to that preseason poll we did for executives about who the best, future closer is in the minor leagues, most executives selected a guy who's currently a starter. And if memory serves correctly, it was names like Michael Kopech, Nate Pearson, Hunter Green, guys with just a lot of power, big fastballs. But at the time, control issues, Pearson's obviously made more progress than Kopech and Green on that front this year. But I think you can still make a case for Pearson being a potential bullpen asset. And I mean, I think it was his last outing of the year. It was his only relief appearance, and he struck out like 5 of 6 guys. So that was a little taste of what he could be in that role.
All right, there's your answer, the underscore Trent Nato. You can send your questions in for us to answer on our weekly podcast. You can tweet them at Jim Callis MLB. You can tweet them at Jonathan Mayo. You can tweet them at Golden Sombrero Mike Rosenbaum. And you can email them in to pipeline@mlb.com. Thanks everybody for listening to this week's episode of the Pipeline Podcast. Look out for a new episode every week on mlb.com, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.